Last week, when Stuart spoke about the resurrection appearances, in particular the appearance to Thomas, he said quite a lot of things, but one thing that really struck me as I listened in the evening was the way he drew out the phrase, "We have seen the Lord." His exploration of the ways in which we, even today, can say the same thing, albeit perhaps in an allegorical way. And that got me thinking about these resurrection appearances. And it got me thinking about how crazy it must have seemed. If you were one of those who knew Jesus, who had followed him, who had listened to his teaching and then had seen him die, how crazy it would seem for someone to come up and say, "We have seen the Lord." Yes, you might think. Yes, I've seen him too. I saw him on Thursday. I saw him taken away. I saw him tried and condemned and executed. You say you've seen him alive, but I know I saw him die. Just as it was for Thomas, that declaration, "We have seen the Lord," would have been just too good to be true. And so today's reading, the story of Cleopas and an unnamed companion. They were part of the group, as Cleopas names it. They weren't in the inner circle of the 12, but they were among the wider group of disciples. Quite likely from Galilee, that they had travelled down to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, as so many did. Either making that trip with Jesus or simply as part of their own religious observance. But now, when we encounter them in this story, they're walking away from Jerusalem towards Emmaus. Stuart loves putting up maps, and I'm sure he would want to put up a map at this point, but the truth is we don't actually know where Emmaus was. We're told it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, but that's really pretty much all we have to go on. Most likely it wasn't a place of great importance, a stopover perhaps, a resting place on the longer journey back home. Emmaus doesn't matter to the story. Where they were going wasn't important to Luke. What was important was that they were leaving. They weren't staying in Jerusalem. They had hoped, they tell Jesus, they had hoped that this Jesus was the one. And they had heard rumours that he was alive again, and they'd heard confirmation that at least the tomb was empty. But it wasn't enough. They were still going home. They were going back to what they knew before. They were going back to life as it had been before the hope and the disappointment of Jesus. If you were feeling hard on them, you'd say they were giving up. And that's where Jesus met them. On the road out of town, away from Jerusalem. In Luke's account of the resurrection, I'd never noticed this before this week. In Luke's account of the resurrection, these two are the first to see the risen Jesus. Luke's telling of the story, when the women go to the tomb, they see the stone rolled away and they have angels declaring that Jesus is alive. And Peter goes to the tomb and finds it empty. That's the story that Cleopas retells on the road, but there's no mention of Mary actually encountering Jesus in Luke. Matthew, Mark, and John all record that with varying details. And you probably know enough about me by now, but that's the sort of detail which really piques my interest, catches my attention. Surely Luke knew about Jesus' appearance to Mary, if only because he had Mark's gospel in front of him when he was writing. But he omits it. Luke, who of all the gospel writers gave the highest prominence, perhaps, to women, and told their stories, and the story of Jesus' radical inclusion of women, passes up this opportunity to tell his readers that the women were the first witnesses of the resurrection. And instead, he places it in this encounter on the road out of town. And there's loads of things that are fascinating in this story. You might have noticed, I'm sure Wiz noticed, that is a relatively long reading, especially if you compare it with Mark's account of the same events, which I'd like to read to you in full. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest. That's it. There's so much in this reading. There's the way that they didn't recognize him until he broke the bread. There's the way they get the first beginnings of an explanation for Jesus' suffering. There's the way he vanished when their eyes were opened, only to appear again when they were back with the others in Jerusalem. There are so many details in there, so many sermons in this reading. But I can't get past this fact that Jesus appeared to these two when they were walking away. How good is that? The appearance, the first in Luke's account, the conversation, the exposition from the scriptures, beginning with Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and all of the prophets, of all of the things that were said about Jesus. If only they'd had a voice recorder with them, how many theological debates could have been avoided over the years? All of that comes to a couple of otherwise unknown disciples, one of whom we don't even get a name for, who had given up and were going home. I reckon this is a story for every one of us who, as a follower of Jesus, has ever been that follower of Jesus. Every one of us who has ever seen hopes shattered and has decided that we dare not hope again. Every one of us who has heard the rumors of new life, the rumors that God is doing something amazing, but for whatever reason, out of fear perhaps of disappointment, has instead chosen the road out of town, the road back to what we know. If the story of Thomas that Stuart took us through last week is a story for anyone who has ever doubted or been afraid or felt the need for proof, the story of Cleopas is for anyone who's ever given up. Not just been tempted to give up, but actually given up, walked away. It's not quite the same as, but it's not entirely different from, I think, the story of many of us in the past few years. How many of us got to the point sometime during the COVID lockdowns when we decided we just couldn't have the energy to try again, when we'd made plans too often to see them cancelled, when it was easier and safer just to stick with safe certainty, rather than reach out for a hope which might just let us down again. This is a story for everyone who's ever found themselves as a follower of Jesus, wondering where he is, wondering what's become of him, wondering why everything has gone wrong, and sadly, reluctantly decided to walk away, to leave it behind, to take the road out of town. Because that is where Jesus met them. But of course, they didn't know it. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him, Luke writes. I wish he had explained that more. What kept them from recognizing him? Was it something about Jesus or their unwillingness to see? For whatever reason, as they walked away from the city, they didn't know that it was Jesus that they had met. Again here, it seems to me this story is for us, for those of us who have taken the road out of town. For in their doubt and in their despair and in their giving up, they encountered Jesus in a way, in a form that they didn't recognize, at least at first. Last week, Stuart spoke about the ways in which we today can say we have seen the Lord, the ways that we see Jesus in our community, in each other, in the gracious love and welcome given in the name of Jesus, in the words of the scriptures, in our prayers. For me, this story adds another layer to that idea. We see the Lord in so many ways, and we don't know it. We don't recognize it. That when Jesus meets us as we walk out of town, we may not know that it's him who's met us. But they did know that what they saw and heard was good. They listened intently to what he had to say, with, as they would later reflect, their hearts burning inside them as he spoke. There was something about this encounter that told them it mattered. They were so keen to hear more that they pressed him to stay with them. If they hadn't, I suppose he would have gone on. And the next day, so would they. And we'd never have heard their story. But on this road out of town, they drank in the words of this stranger who was Jesus, like travelers in a desert who had found an oasis. But they didn't know it was him, until it fell into place as he shared a gesture that was so much part of who he was, giving thanks, breaking bread, and vanished from their sight. And they recognized, and they were able to declare what somehow I think they had already known was true. We have seen the Lord. And so without delay, they turned around and they took that same road in the other direction. They went back into town. They went back into the uncertainty of what lay before them. They went back into the risk and the disappointment and the hope. They went back into the work of God that Jesus had begun and they had been called to be part of. And then we never hear of them again. They're not great names in the early church. Just followers who had walked away and then came back. Because even as they were walking away, they still wanted to hear. They still wanted to understand. They wanted, I think, to be given a reason to return. They wanted to be given a reason to believe they could hope again. This is a story of hope for all of us who recognize ourselves in that. Amen.